Cliff Richard with Better Than I Know Myself. And that's from the LP Walking in the Light, which at the moment is number 12 in the contemporary Christian charts. Well, moving up to the top of those charts is this Christian rock and roller. His name is Steve Taylor, and he's been on tour in the UK not so long ago with Sheila Walsh. He's an American. He sings some very exciting songs, some very, very deep songs, and he writes all his own material. This one I think you'll like. It's a song about a court case concerning a baby, and I think it speaks for itself.
Unfolding today, a miracle play, this Indiana boy. The father, he sighs, she opens her eyes, their baby boy is born. We don't understand, he's not like we planned. The doctor shakes his head. Abnormal, they cry, and so they decide, this child is better dead. I bear the blame. Believers are few, and what am I to do? I share the baby down. A hearing is sought, the lawyers are bought, the court won't let him eat. The papers applaud when judges play God. This child is getting weak. They're drawing a bead, reciting the creed. Respect a woman's choice. I've heard that before. How can you ignore? This baby has a voice. I bet.
Speaks for itself. It gives us a message of life, and I don't have to comment on it. Here's Keith Green and How Majestic Is Thy Name.
Oh. clouds low, how majestic is thy name in all the earth. O Lord, how low, how majestic is thy name in all the earth.
Who has displayed thy splendor above the heavens? Thou hast established strength from mountains of infants
to show all thy name. How low, how majestic is thy name in all the earth. O Lord, how low, how majestic is thy name in all the earth.
When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers,
there from Keith Green. That was How Majestic Is Thy Name. Well, if you've just tuned our way, you're in tune with the Good News Station, the Irish Christian Broadcasting Service. You're very welcome along indeed. Well, the one thing that you may not know about this station is that we broadcast now 24 hours a day, right through Monday to Friday, 7 days a week. And we've live broadcasting every evening between the hours of 7 o'clock, at least starting at 7 o'clock, with the exception of Wednesday when we start at 8 p.m. in the evening. And we also broadcast live all day on Saturday between the hours of 9 a.m. and 10 p.m. at night. And in the meantime, we've Christian Music Ministry. And in fact, Christian Music Ministry goes on 24 hours a day. So you can tune in to ICBS any time of the day or night that you would like to. with some more music now. Here we have Sheila Walsh and Fooled by a Feeling. Sheila Walsh, back by Cliff Richard, and that one was Fooled by a Feeling. That was from her LP, Drifting. And here we have our own Dana from the Totally Yours LP. This one's called Praise the Lord.
Y'all. to go. I think of what he told me and let go. And I just praise the Lord. I just praise the Lord.
Sound there of our own Dana, that was called Praise the Lord. Well, in some of the prayer requests we've been having here on the ICBS, we have been reading out a lot of prayer requests for husbands and wives who are breaking up or whose marriages are in difficulty and don't know what to do about it. And we have had quite a number of those coming in for prayer requests. So I'd like to share something with you, a Christian message on what to do if after many years you are drifting apart. The start of the healing of a breach between a husband and wife is to recognize, as you have done, that the old comradeship has been impaired. Now, a frank facing of that fact is primary. Then determine, with God's help, to do something about it at once. Any marriage that has years of happiness back of it can be saved by intelligent and spiritual solutions. Together, if both parties will work in such cooperation, make a study of your lives to determine where and for what reason the drift apart began. In other words, go back to the crossroads. It is important to discover the cause or causes of the widening breach. Many of those so-called causes, upon mature analysis, will seem of no value. Others that do create a real issue may be successfully resolved by intelligent discussion and prayer. Let every partner carefully consider his or her own failures and acknowledge them to the other. Do not stress the other's failures. Try to accept more blame than the other person, and the other partner will not want to be outdone in accepting his or her share of responsibility. Mutual forgiveness often quickly follows this procedure. If there is another man or woman in the picture, face that problem without hysteria and ask God's help in devising a spiritual strategy by which you can win back your partner. And remember, you have the advantage because your own love dates from youth. You have worked together over the years. You have the ties of children. Your relationship is legal and respectable, while the other is clandestine and unrespectable. There is a basic affinity between your partner and yourself. Explore the reasons why you are no longer attractive to the other. Go to work to restore the original attraction, for it can be done. Believe that God is helping you and you cannot fail. Marriage to the very end of life must never be taken for granted. always seek to keep the element of romance alive. Do not become prosaic, dowdy, careless, unattractive personally. Do not be unattentive, unappreciative. Be a good housekeeper, a good provider. Be gallant, be feminine. And as the health cycles of life proceed in each partner, as grey hairs appear, enter into these changing conditions with understanding, tenderness, and the realization that each period of life has its own great reward. Remind yourself that God planned it that way, and those who follow God's plan receive marvelous blessings. Make an analysis of your respective interests. If the survey shows that you are interested in widely varying things, you have one important explanation for the difference. These apparently harmless differences in likes and dislikes may have caused you to drift apart without suspecting what was taking place. Decide on some common interests, as many as possible. Let each partner develop as much liking as he or she can for the other's interests. And the greatest of all techniques in healing a marriage breach is to pray together. Kneel down, side by side, and let each one pray. The voice in prayer has a much different tone than in argument. Immediately the couple is lifted to a higher level, and a third party enters the discussion, and in that atmosphere bickering fades away. Life's most beautiful values are re-emphasized. The old pure love tends to return, and the guidance of God enters into the minds of both.
Come on now.
beautiful sound there of Amy Grant, and that's a number she's well known for. That's called El Shaddai.
There is strength for your weakness, freedom for your chains, healing for your bruises, peace for your pain. There is reward for your labor, release when you bow. Just give it all to Jesus, let him turn it around. Heart like a stone, all your fears locked deep inside, so all alone. Never show the tears you've cried. You can't admit your weakness in a world so full of pride. But the emptiness you feel can't be denied. Oh, there's strength for your weakness, freedom for your chains, healing for your bruises, peace for your pain. There's reward for your labor, release when you're bound. Give it all to Jesus, let him turn it around. Why do you stay when it only brings you down? There is a way. If you'll only turn around, you can trade all of your failures for a love that never ends. Your heartaches for a friend. He's got strength for your weakness, freedom for your chains, healing for your bruises, peace for your pain. There's reward for your labor, release when you're bound. Jesus, let him turn it around.
6 o'clock and all is well. Still asleep and still the dream goes on and on. 8 o'clock, the morning bell rings to its time for me to go.
Dedicating our program to the Lord, I'd like to say this lovely prayer of Pope Paul VI. Lord, I believe, I wish to believe in you. Lord, let my faith be full and unreserved, and let it penetrate my thought, my way of judging divine things and human things. Lord, let my faith be joyful and give peace and gladness to my spirit, and dispose it for prayer with God and conversation with men, so that the inner bliss of its fortunate possession may shine forth in sacred and secular conversation. Lord, let my faith be humble and not presumed to be based on the experience of my thought and my feeling, but let it surrender to the testimony of the Holy Spirit and not have any better guarantee than in docility to tradition and to the authority of the magisterium of the Holy Church. Let's start our program now with this one from Michael John Talbot, as he sings, In the Beginning.
Night.
Now, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, writes Matthew, and thus placing the nativity before Herod's death. Now, Luke intertwines the birth narrative of Jesus with that of Jesus' cousin John the Baptist. According to the account, a priest named Zechariah and his barren wife Elizabeth, both advanced in years, came to Jerusalem. There, Zechariah had the honor of performing the incense ceremony at the temple, and in this holy shrine, the angel Gabriel appeared and promised Zechariah a son who will turn many of the sons of Israel to the Lord their God, and make ready for the Lord a people prepared. 6 months later, Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth. There he announced to the Virgin Mary that she would conceive a child, and he will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. Of Jesus should be a happy event for us all the year round, not just at Christmas time. And you know, when Mary, having been told by the angel that Elizabeth had also conceived, she rose and went into the hill country to the city of Judah to see her kinswoman. And this home of John the Baptist is not identified in the Gospels, but tradition has long located it at Anacharim, a village in the strikingly attractive valley just under a few miles west of Jerusalem. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby in her womb leaped for joy, and she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me?" Mary replied with a beautiful poem whose opening words are familiar. "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Saviour." When Elizabeth's child was born, he was named John, meaning "the Lord has been gracious." We know nothing else about his life until he appeared along the banks of the Jordan River, baptizing and proclaiming the coming of the kingdom of God. Let's go to the music now of Ella Fitzgerald, "Little Town of Bethlehem."
Oh, little town of Bethlehem, Meanwhile, Mary and her husband Joseph went from Nazareth to Bethlehem in Judea to be enrolled in the Roman census, because Joseph was of the house and lineage of David. Bethlehem, the city of David, was a beautiful place, and it was surrounded by verdant fields and lush olive groves, and it really was called the House of Bread. In the inns of Bethlehem were always filled with travellers going to and coming from Jerusalem, 5 miles north. During the census, the village would have been more crowded. Thus, Jesus was born in a stable, probably a cave where animals were usually kept, and laid in a manger. Let's go to hear this next piece of music called the Ave Maria.
Thank you. children, little children, stay my blessing to receive. Forbid you not that children, little children, shall gather.
Children, and I was supported there by the Cork Children's Choir. So, let me go on to talk about Christmas. Christmas being one of the great Christian feasts, and it's a day that's remembered throughout the whole world. And its strange thing about it is that many non-Christian countries celebrate Christmas as a national holiday. And also the international calendar regards the year of Christ's birth as the first year, and perhaps we could even say that the birth of Christ was the turning point in history. And since then we note that time is either BC, that is before Christ, or AD, that is Anno Domini, meaning the year of the Lord. So we see that Christmas, or the birth of our Lord, is a very special time in our lives, and we should try and have that, a little bit of that joy in our lives every day. And let's go to the next piece of music from a Praise LP, and I think that you will like this.
Pray my Father, King of heaven.
The Word was made flesh and dwelt amongst us. These are words taken from St. John's Gospel, and these are his way of describing the Incarnation. Now, John does not give details such as shepherds and magi and angels. He approaches it different from Matthew and Luke's Gospel. John wants to emphasize that God has made himself known to man in the person of his Son, Jesus Christ, the Lord. He does this by saying that Jesus was the Word, and this Word was made flesh. The idea behind the Word is that God spoke, and his Word was expressed in the body of Christ. God's Word became an actual living reality. For John, Christ is the living presence of God among men. He is the Son of God. St. Matthew refers to Christ as Emmanuel, which means God is with us. So we can see that Matthew and John have the same idea, but express it in a different way. Just as the Gospel writers tried to express in their writings the meaning of Christ, so too, in the life of each Christian, the same question has to be asked. "But you," he said, "who do you say that I am?" And let's go to the music of Roger Whittaker now with this one.
Everybody talks about a new world and a new world in the morning, so they say. I myself don't talk about a new world in the morning, new world in the mirror. And I can feel a new tomorrow coming on. And I don't know why I have to make a song. Everybody talks about a new world in the morning, new world in the morning. I met a man who had a dream he'd had since he was 20. I met that man when he was 81. He said to many folks, just stand and wait until the morning. Don't they know tomorrow never comes? And he would feel a new tomorrow coming on. And when he'd smile, his eyes would twinkle up in fun. Everybody talks about a new world in the morning. New world in the morning never comes. And I can feel a new tomorrow coming on. And I don't know why I have to make a song. Everybody talks about a new world in the morning. New world in the morning takes so long.
You know, Jesus was born in a stable, a cave really, and the traditional site of this cave was incorporated in the 4th century and by Constantine, who built a beautiful basilica. And it was rebuilt again by Justinian in the 6th century. And this basilica is one of the oldest churches in the world. You know, Christmas time is a time of looking forward to the future and also looking back to the past and trying to think about those who have are hungry or sick or lonely, the old and the poor. And in that sentiment, I'd like to play this piece of music. It's called We Are the World.
There time when we heed a certain call, when the world must come together as one. There are people dying.
Oh, when it's time to lend a hand to life, the greatest gift of all.
We can't go on pretending day by day that the moon somewhere will soon make a change.
We all a part of God's great big family,
and the truth, you know, love is all we need.
We are the children. We are the ones who make us brighter than day. So let's start giving.
Yeah.
declared the world. We are the